is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. Happy Monday to you. I hope you're well. I know who's not well. Man, Lady Seminoles out of Florida State. I'm sitting here in the studio. LSU just beat them. I think it was 101 to 76. Wow. Man, that's some rough going if you're traveling. And shout out to my people down in Tallahassee. Anyway, I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours. It's a four-hour show. I get started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, every single weekday. That means Monday through Friday. I'm in Atlanta, super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. We've talked about a lot. Hey, thank you to our guests last hour. Michael Atulip played point guard for the Fighting Illini. He now covers all things college basketball for the Field of 68. He came through and joined us. In another 20 minutes, we'll have another guest. Connor Goodson will come through and join us to talk about all things Arkansas basketball. Yeah, because Coach Cal is moving on. And speaking of moving on, this guy's moving on too. Cam Ward is moving on from college. He just wrapped up his pro day down in Miami, and people are raving about his arm, his athleticism. This guy broke a sweat on his way into the NFL. Matter of fact, we'll hear from Cam Ward in a second as he got some words in with the NFL Network. If you missed a minute or a second of this show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The app is free. Not a lot of things in life today. Hickey, is there anything free in life?
Oh, boy.
Hickey, we're on planet Earth. You got to buy water. Come on now.
70% of this rock is made of a water. Still not free. Crazy.
I gotta buy some. I mean, if I want clean water in my house, I gotta buy a filter to clean the water. Sad. Air is free. It might be dirty, but it's free. Right? Right? No?
No, it is definitely for the most. Yeah, no, definitely.
Man, there's nothing free.
That's it. So, air. And the Odyssey app.
Odyssey app is free. You're right. Odyssey app is free. Thank you to people listening on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliates. If you have SiriusXM, that ain't free, unless it's a free preview. Channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, maybe someone gifted it to you, but the internet part of it isn't free, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. Of course, we're going to be talking more college basketball. We just talked about Anthony Davis, who made his return for the Dallas Mavericks, game number 2 of his career. Newsflash, as of right now, Anthony Davis is still healthy. We'll see. I'll give you an update on that guy before we get out of here. And, of course, at the end of the show, we'll take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history. You know, as we just shared with you, Cam Ward just wrapped up his pro day with Miami. This dude already won all these records, not records. He won all of these awards, quarterback awards down in Miami, and best QB here, and he's the number one expected quarterback selected to be taken in the draft. We heard that the Tennessee Titans took him out to dinner yesterday. Good for him. And so now after his pro day, people are asking questions. You look good. There was a point in time, Hickey, what happened? He made a throw and he looked over towards the Titans brass or something like that?
Exactly. I made like a nice throw down the field, beautiful dime. And he was kind of like rolling out towards the sideline right near where the Titans brass, GM, assistants, executives, coaches were there. Mm-hmm. And the camera caught him yelling something, but it could not be discerned exactly what he was yelling, and then found out later on what he was telling Tennessee.
Well, let's take a listen to what Cam Ward said about that. He's having a chat with everybody right now. He spoke to the NFL Network.
There was a throw that you did on the roll, on the run, where you hit a dime, and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker, and Mike Gorenzanzi, mm-hmm. and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you say to
him? I said, I'm solidifying it today.
You solidifying it today.
Locking it up.
They heard you? They laughed a little
bit. I made sure they heard me.
Okay, all right. Nothing wrong with some bravado and some confidence. He's not being a jerk about this. Hickey, if that was Shador, it would be news tomorrow, right? Arrogant quarterback, making a fit. I don't know.
Oh, there'd be some think pieces out there as well. It would be chaotic.
Can we just... we got another month until the draft? How the hell?
Can I be honest with you, JR?
Go ahead.
I hate this time.
Why? The period between the combine and the draft?
Oh, I hate it. In just football terms, just because stuff like this is like everything is overanalyzed and overbroken down. And so now like every little thing, good or bad, is either super hyped up or made to be a negative. And there's just so much overreaction that it drives you crazy.
Yeah. Here's some. You ready for this? I have some from USA Today. Here's some words about Cam Ward's pro day. You ready? You ready, Hickey?
Oh, boy. Let's hear it.
Cam Ward delivered several nice intermediate and long passes. Okay. His best pass came on a bootleg to the left when he threw a deep pass to Miami wide receiver Xavier Restrepo. The football dropped into Restrepo's hands right as the receiver was in stride. The throw highlighted Ward's arm strength and accuracy. It's good to know. It's good information. You hate this?
Has there ever been a bad pro day? Have we ever seen a quarterback just completely butcher a workout to where it's up? Nope, he's not the guy. He's not going to be the next franchise guy. He's not going number one. I mean, Zach Wilson dazzled everybody. Sam Darnold, I remember people talking about him throwing in the rain as this, like, you know, big, oh, my God, he's out in here in the elements. Look at this guy go. He's going to be a superstar.
It's so orchestrated at this point, right? They're doing the same thing every day for what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
I was listening earlier in Cam Ward's interview. He said basically everything they did today was like stuff they did in practice in the games. So he's been doing it for months. Every throw, every read, he's been doing it for months.
Yeah, you want something negative today? Yeah, I got you, Hickey, okay? Ward had about 5 throws that he liked to have back. Okay? His worst pass came on an out route. The ball came out of his hand awkward. Another ball sailed on him on a corner route. Towards the end of the session, he threw 3 passes too high that went over the outstretched arms of the intended receivers. Aside from a handful of incompletions, Ward had an impressive session, but lasted about 45 minutes. Here's some ratings. You ready, Hickey? Mechanics, A. All right.
Okay.
What do you got here? Arm strength, A. We got here, overall, A-. There we go. Oh. Miami's pro day highlighted Ward's strengths as the quarterback. He possesses the necessary arm talent to make all the NFL throws, while his athleticism allows him to make throws off platform and from various arm angles. He had a handful of inaccurate passes, but overall, Ward's performance should solidify himself as the top quarterback in the 2025 draft. There you go. That's a good article to read. I mean, if he stunk, the article would have said so. Hey, thank you to Tyler Dragon. Shout out to Tyler. No, right? And you asked, Kiki, I have to Google Jamarcus Russell, right? Did he have a bad pro day? Did he show up on time? Did he show up at all?
No, that's actually a fair question.
In Louisiana, let's see.
I don't know. He may not have, but if he showed up, I'm sure his pro day was more than okay.
All right. You're right. Even him. Let's see.
I think about it. They're just standing there in shorts and a t-shirt. There's no pass rush. There's no defender. They're throwing to one receiver who's running one route that they've practiced for months on end.
You ready for this? You want to know how important pro days are?
Uh-oh.
All right.
He didn't have one.
No, he did. In 2007, okay. This is according to ESPN. LSU Russell puts on impressive a show for scouts. Jamarcus Russell was the star of Wednesday's show.
Oh, God.
He weighed in at 256 pounds. 9 pounds lighter than at the scouting combine more than 2 weeks ago. So he lost weight for 2 weeks, okay?
All right. Yeah, What was his weight at the draft, you think?
Here we go. Let's see.
I ballooned up.
Here, we need some more. Here we go. He ran a 4.8 40-yard dash. Wow.
Oh, jeez.
That's a pretty good time, said Todd McShay, senior draft analyst for ESPN. Compare that to Troy Smith. Okay. Jamarcus Russell threw 75 passes. He only missed on about 4 or 5. His passing session was the most impressive of all the pro days I've been to. His footwork for such a big quarterback was surprising. He was nimble in his dropbacks. We all knew coming in his arm strength is extraordinary. The ball explodes out of his hands. He was flicking his wrist and putting it right on the numbers. His arm length, they loved it. He has the arm length of a left tackle. His big hands. Okay. All right, so there you have it. And where's Jamarcus Russell right now? Telling everybody he's not a bust, right?
No, the opposite. Telling everyone he's the biggest bust.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't just call him a bust. Call him the bust.
Here we go. 3 years later. So we went from 2007 to 2010. Mike Mayock, the best pro day I ever saw as a quarterback was Jamarcus Russell. Yeah.
Until yeah. Zach Wilson had his a few years ago.
Yeah. The guy, oh, here we go. Here we go. 3 years later. The guy doesn't care about football. He doesn't have the passion for the game, doesn't have the work ethic. I don't want him. But by the way, it was a pretty impressive pro day. There we go. The tape work and the body of work in college has to take precedence, said Mike Mayock. Yeah, okay, we have it. So what we just saw from Cam Ward, a whole lot of nothing. Nothing.
Is that's real? You just not make that up on the fly?
Nah, I just read that from NBC.
Oh, my God.
I didn't make that up. I read that. So basically,
that's incredible.
Can we play this back at this point next year if we're still here? Can we just play that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. When somebody tells us about pro days, we could just reference Jamarcus Russell again.
Just wait for Arch Manning's pro day. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. This guy's been making these same passes since he fell out of the womb, okay?
Greatest pro day I've ever seen. It's already the headline right now, locked up.
Yeah, he's been throwing
the article right now.
Man, when do you think the first time he threw a football, what do you think he was? 9 months? 3 months old?
I was going to say 3 years old. You're probably right. It's closer to under a year.
Bruh. Them babies got some good hand-eye coordination, man, okay?
Probably popped out of the womb with a ball in his hand.
Bro, come on. We've seen babies throw things early. Like, even before they walk, if you sit a baby down on anything and you give them a ball, if you give them anything, Hickey, depending on what it is, they're going to throw it.
That's true. No, you're right about that.
If you're Arch Manning, you don't think they gave him a football? Like, somebody has to ask him that. Somebody has to ask his dad that. When is the first time he threw a football? I bet you he'd be months old. I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to do some baby math here in my head, Hickey. It's been a minute. I'm trying to figure out the first time my kid threw a ball. Oh, my God. He was less than a year old. He had a ball. He was able to throw it.
So how does that work? You see him just throwing random objects, blocks, food, whatever, and say, okay, let's see if we can just put a ball in his hand and see if you get the same results. Is that how like that starts?
No, you know, kids get toys, and eventually you got to entertain the kids, right? You can't just leave them in a playpen or a box all day. You got to get toys.
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, the kid has toys. I don't know. That's a good question, Hickey. I don't know. I got so many stupid balls and stuff in my house. I'm like sick of this stuff. I don't know.
Already?
Yeah, I went to the Hawks game on, what day did I go? I went to the Hawks game on Saturday night, and they gave me a bag to take home to my kid. I'm like, what are you giving me this stuff for?
Well, more balls? Nice.
Nah, but more balls? Like, we don't need no more of this crap. Come on. I don't need no more of this. But there was a point, I don't know. Like, you get a Fisher Price set of it has a baseball and basketball and all of this stuff. And at that point, it's, I don't know. I threw the ball at him and he caught it and he threw it back. I don't know.
Just natural athlete, okay.
Yeah, you watch. Kids imitate. That's why we have all of these terrible humans walking around the face of the earth. Hickey, come on now.
Are you one of those parents that like is forcing him to throw with his left hand so he can be like a pitcher in baseball and get some big time money?
No. Ironically, he is left-handed.
Oh.
He's ambidextrous, but he is left-handed. He is.
Okay, so there you go.
I realized that. I'm watching him draw and eat food and stuff. I'm like, this guy's using his left hand. Oh.
Get a baseball in that hand and you won't regret it.
What should I do? Set him up for Tommy John tomorrow?
I mean, get out ahead of it.
Yeah, right. Might as well. Cut him open one time. He'll add how many miles per hour? 3 more years, 5 more hours on his fastball?
I think so. Especially as he's growing. Maybe grows even stronger now that he's like young still versus like getting at 25.
All right, well, break his arm tomorrow.
I'm not.
Break his little arm tomorrow. Get him all set. Take him over to the Braves. Get him set. I got it. Well, not that guy. I was going to say, I'll see if John Rocker still lives here, but bad idea.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not him. I think I could do better than John Rocker. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, speaking of, I don't want to call it a comeback, but one guy that we've seen have a comeback, not from arm surgery, but a comeback in college basketball, is Coach John Calipari. This man just knocked off Rick Pitino. He's walking around in them fancy jackets. He's coaching Arkansas. This man is, he's moving. He's in the Sweet 16. We're going to talk about Coach Cal on the other side of the break. He's having a revival down in Arkansas. We'll be joined by Connor Goodson to have the convo on the other side. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't get hurt.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. In a few minutes, we're going to have a chat with Connor Goodson. Covers all things Arkansas basketball. They had a team that just brought in Coach Cal. The team that's now in the Sweet 16. The guy, Coach Cal, the guy that everybody thought was cooked up at Kentucky. Oh, how's he going to do? Oh, a transfer portal. Oh, you can't build super teams. Well, damn it, the guy's in the Sweet 16. Just knocked off Rick Pitino. Pretty awesome. Well, that game took place on Saturday, so I look forward to having that chat with Connor Goodson. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. So I don't want to say a little bit of a surprise, a little bit of a shock that we have Arkansas in this spot right now. But there's one thing a lot of people are shocked about right now in college basketball. People feel that we don't have the Cinderellas, that we don't have the upsets, that we have too many blue bloods, that we have, no mid-majors, that the little guys are not here lighting things up, that we don't have the stories of the teams that have absolutely come out of nowhere to just shock everybody and take us on a wild ride. I feel like we do. And these are some stats. Hickey shared this earlier today. This is the first tournament since 2007 where no team seeded 11 or below made the Sweet 16. This is the fourth time this has happened since the year 2000. And so we got a lot of people who are pretty upset and pretty worried and pretty concerned that the tournament is what now a waste of time, that we don't have the greatest and best of storylines. Jay Williams earlier today was on Get Up, and he said the whole Cinderella idea in college basketball in the tournament, he said it is over.
NIL is the death of mid-major Cinderella runs. And I think it still can happen, but I think it's going to be more of a rarity, Greeny. I think now we're going to see a lot of players that are playing for the Colorado States, that are playing for the McNeeses, that are playing for the Drakes, that are going to get poached by mid-level Power 4, Power 5 conferences, right? And you're going to see teams in the middle of the pack of the Big 10, the middle of the pack of the Big 12, see these players and say, hey, we'll give you 4X, we'll give you 5X what you're earning at your mid-major conference. And that's why I think you're seeing chalk as much as you're seeing right now as we get to the Sweet 16.
I don't think so. We'll have teams that'll pop up the hell out of nowhere, and then they'll just get disbanded. That's it. The players will go elsewhere. Everybody will go their separate ways. You want to talk about not necessarily having any of these surprises and these Cinderellas? Come on now. St. Peter's, a couple of years ago, Man, they were a number 15 seed. They reached the Elite Eight in 2022. I mean, even if I go away from what St. Peter's did, and then that everybody left. That school got ripped to shreds. FDU. They're another team that was able to go ahead and turn things around. We're going to get more into that in a second. Somebody who doesn't have to worry about being a Cinderella. People expect him to do damage anywhere that he goes. It's time to have a chat right now with Connor Goodson, who covers all things Arkansas Razorback basketball. Hey, Connor, how you doing?
Doing good, JR. How about you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to come through and join us. When you think about Coach Cal and what he's been able to do with this school and with this team, a little surprised at the results so far right out of the gate?
I mean, I think so. I don't think I've ever seen a team really lose their two leading scorers and then proceed to go on a run to finish the season 8-5 and make it to the tournament and then go on a run in the tournament to make it to the second weekend. It's pretty unheard of, and considering where things were back in early February when Arkansas was 0-5 in SEC play, pretty remarkable that we're sitting here talking about them being in the Sweet 16. I got to be honest, I don't think I've ever seen anything. And I think that looking forward, you know, if Arkansas, even if they bow out this weekend, it's kind of one of those things where they've already defied expectations. And I think that Arkansas fans are going to be happy regardless.
Yeah, Arkansas is going to be in action against Texas Tech on Thursday night. Well, Connor, you've covered this team. What has changed? Let's think about this in two ways. Since that 0-5 run, what's changed between then and now? And what's changed throughout the course of the entire year as Cal has tried to figure this out?
Well, I think when they started SEC play, they had a bunch of guys that just weren't confident in their roles. Like, you had Boogie Flynn, you had Adu Thiro, who were, you know, kind of leading the charge offensively, but you didn't have really John L. Davis in a role that he was comfortable with, where he had the ball in his hands. He was just kind of that 3-and-D spot up guy. And he's been better. We saw it at FAU with him, where he put the ball in his hands and kind of just let him go to work. That's where he's at his best. So he wasn't really in a role that he was comfortable with. DJ Wagner wasn't. Trevin Brazil, he really has, this last half of the season, has just become almost a completely different player. Then Jonas Adu has also gotten a lot healthier, and earlier in the season he was a shell of himself. So you get all of these ingredients of guys that just don't really have confidence. They're not comfortable in the role. That's what happened. They started 0-5, 1-6 before they went into Rupp Arena. And that game was really the coming out party. You know, you lose Boogie Flynn, things look dire, and then you kind of slide DJ Wagner over into more of a creator role, and then John L. Davis kind of takes over DJ Wagner's role, where he has the ball in his hands more, and then, you know, the bigs start getting healthy and they get in a groove, and that's really what's changed. The guys are in more comfortable roles. They're way more confident, and they're healthy, aside from Thiro, who who knows? He may be back. He may not be back. But this team, they've shown that they'll be able to put up a fight regardless.
Connor Goodson covers all things Arkansas basketball for HogSports.com. You just named a variety of names on the team. I do, all the way down to Wagner. Who needs to take the charge? It seems like a lot of guys are capable of doing so, but who needs to take the charge against Texas Tech if they want to walk away to the Elite Eight?
Well, yeah, and to my point, naming all those guys, like, that has been the biggest thing, is that, you know, this is something that Cal has said already this season numerous times. We don't need everybody to be good. We just need that they can't all be bad. You know, they don't all have to be great. They just can't all be bad at the same time. And Arkansas expect to win. They need everyone. It like takes a team effort to get this team to do what they can do and be at their best. So really, it's not about just, you know, a couple of guys stepping up. It's really everyone gives you something. Like, if your shot's not falling, you got to be able to give them rebounds. And we've seen that with Knox and Richmond, who before the last game against St. John's, they weren't really like in a groove offensively. Like, they weren't the key guys. And then they go out against St. John's and lead the team in scoring. And before that, they were just trying to make plays defensively and go grab rebounds and kind of affect the game in other ways. And then they come out in St. John's and they're able to do something different where they needed to be the leaders offensively. So it's just guys picking up the slack where they need to and kind of all giving them something. It has really allowed this team to reach its potential down the stretch.
Well, Connor, you say that's Coach Calipari's his philosophy here with this team and with this squad. We know about the stars that he used to have out in Kentucky. We know about his time at Memphis. It's been a year, at least on the college basketball calendar. What are your personal impressions on who he is and the job that he's done so far?
Yeah, you know, when he took the job, obviously I knew what all kind of came with it, and I obviously we all heard the complaints from Kentucky fans and Kentucky media about kind of what went wrong and the negatives that came with Cal. But he has really impressed me. I feel like with his, you know, X's and O's are a lot better than I expected them, and that they were kind of sold to me. You know, just his situational stuff, like he's really great at drawing up out of bounds plays, out of timeout stuff, that he's been a lot better than I expected and that we've seen in years past. And just some of the sets that he runs, I think that they're a lot more than what was advertised originally, and that been a pleasant surprise. But just his ability to really connect with guys and get them, being able to push the right buttons and get them to like not check out when you're 0-5 or 1-6, man, especially in today's day and age with guys making six figures, seven figures, like it's easy to check out and mail it in, man. I mean, it is. And that didn't happen. Like these guys really, you know, stepped up to the challenge, and he kept them engaged all year long. And you know, he kept telling them, you know, we can go on a run. We can go on a run if you just, you know, stay engaged. And now they've done exactly that. So that has really impressed me for him to be able to keep these dudes engaged and playing their best ball when they really need to.
Well, that's the guys in the locker room. How is the overall school and the community? Have they embraced him? Has it just been like, let's wait and see? Has it been quiet and under the radar up until now? How is the community overall taking him?
Well, the thing about Arkansas fans, you know, going back to the Nolan Richardson teams in the 90s, like they've always thrived in that underdog role. Like they love to get behind an underdog, and they really, you know, this fan base really just rallies around the underdog. And so because Cal was so, you know, discounted and people were writing him off, you know, the fan base has also kind of rallied around that. And, you know, the Arkansas fan base has never really had a premier coach like that's almost the brand is on the same level as the school. And so that was weird. But then, you know, you get into the season and he kind of, you know, takes on that underdog role that this Arkansas fan base loves to rally around. And so I think that has really endeared him to fans. He's really, I feel like, connected with fans and outside of basketball, outside of, you know, around the community, you know, going to different, whether it's outreach programs. They did an exhibition for charity earlier in the summer, that, you know, different things like that he's done that really, you know, connects him on a personal level with his fan base. And then so you add those ingredients together, the underdog, the community outreach, things like that. And safe to say that these Arkansas fans really ride for Cal now, and that he's one of theirs.
Connor Goodson is here with us from Hogsport.com. You think they're going to knock off Texas Tech on Thursday?
Man, put me on the spot. That's a tough question. You know, I mean, Texas Tech is really good. I think that they match up really well with Arkansas to give Arkansas trouble. The big question is, does Chance McMillan play? Like, if he does, that obviously changes the matchup completely. And if he doesn't, that obviously goes for Arkansas. But, you know, JT Toppin and Darian Williams, they're more than capable of giving Arkansas issues. You know, you've got guys like Zvonimir Visic and Trevin Brazil and Jonas Adu who have, you know, kind of struggled against guys at times, you know, down low, with you know, smaller, scrappier kind of forwards. So it's going to be a really fun, I think it's going to be another physical game, maybe not the level St. John's was, but I think both of these teams kind of pride themselves at the defensive end of the floor. And I think that it's going to be one of those things that one of those matchups that really, quintessential, like instant classic almost, because, you know, it is you know, it's win or go home. It's survive in advance. And Texas Tech, you know, they're hearing all about Arkansas being the Cinderella, you know, Calipari's the underdog, you know, they're the only double-digit seed. You know, if I'm a player in Texas Tech, that probably, you know, irritates me a little bit. Be like, hey, we're in this matchup too. And so I think that there's a little bit of that, but, you know, the Red Raiders really good offensively too. I think that they're, last time I looked, they're top five KenPom efficiency offensively. So, yeah, Arkansas is going to have their hands full, especially if McMillan does give it a go.
Connor, regardless of how this season ends for Arkansas, people are definitely going to take a look at it as a success. Knowing about how much we've had players who transfer out and move around, same thing with coaches, knowing how much money is being put into this program for Arkansas, that's why Coach Cal is here. How long is this runway?
I think that it's, especially with the way that this season has played out, I think that if you just looked on paper at this before the season started and you looked at 0-5 SEC, you know, they slow down or they get a slow start out of the gates and then they start to build back and have this, you know, amazing stretch to end the season and then they go on a run. I feel like that some people would just take that at face value and be like, you know, maybe that's not living up to expectations, but actually living with it day by day and being in the moment and riding the kind of ride that this year has been, it's hard to not believe that this Arkansas fan base, the administration, isn't just, you know, they've kind of gotten the mindset of like, you know, let's let Cal do his thing. Like, as long as it takes, you know, we're going to ride with Cal. Like I said, that underdog mentality, the fire that we've seen from Cal this season, where it really wasn't there for him at Kentucky, you know, that fire, that passion that has really driven him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he kind of lost that last few years in Lexington. It's definitely back. And I think that with that, I think Arkansas fans are just kind of, you know, like, hey, however long it takes, let's ride with our guy because, you know, he's embraced us. And we're gonna back him, and obviously with the reaching the second weekend this year after how it started, I think that fans are more than willing to really kind of give him the time that he needs to really get this thing going.
Yeah, well, listen, Coach Cal in front of a microphone is typically gold, as I'm sure you've already seen and witnessed, Connor. So the more that we get at him over the next couple of days and maybe weeks, the better. I appreciate the time. I know you cover all things Razorbacks, not just on a basketball, but football side. Where can people keep up with you and Hawk Sport?
Yeah, over at hawksports.com, hawgsports.com. I mean, we cover everything Arkansas football, basketball, baseball. And then you can follow me at Twitter, at Connor Goodson, all one word, no numbers or anything, just at Connor Goodson. So, yeah, that's where you can keep up with all of our stuff. A transfer portal started today, so we got a lot of coverage on that front. And it's going to be a fun week in San Francisco for sure.
And no doubt about that. Yeah, all 200 members who have entered or players who entered into the portal. Yeah, keeping things busy. Hey, Connor, thank you so much, man. We'll catch you on down the line.
Yeah, really appreciate it, JR. Always a pleasure talking to you.
No doubt about it. That Connor Goodson covers all things Razorbacks for hogsports.com. You know what? Let's hear from Coach Cal on the other side of the break. And also the guy he eliminated. We got to wait a little while until we get more quotes from Rick Pitino. I want to talk about all these guys entering into the transfer portal, get into the Cinderella stories that don't exist. So we have more to do here on the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Connor Goodson for joining us in the last break from hogsports.com. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You heard Connor. He's just like, man, everybody is going along for this ride with the Razorbacks. This is, I guess, as close to a Cinderella story that anybody could possibly have, at least what's left in the tournament right now. Coach Cal got the boot from Kentucky. He doesn't have it anymore. He can't win anymore. And boom, here he is, his first year with the Razorbacks in the Sweet 16. I don't know if they'll beat Texas Tech. I would venture to say otherwise. But however the season ends, as I just discussed with Connor, people are going to be looking for Coach Cal to have even more of a bounce back next year. And so Coach Cal, he spoke to the media, obviously, after beating Rick Pitino in St. John's on Saturday. They beat him 75-66. That game became a little bit more of a game was closer than what the score is. You think about the now knocking down free throws and what have you. It was a close game. It was an ugly game. It was a tough game. You know what? And Coach Cal, he says, you know what? Winning that basketball game on Saturday has to be one of the most rewarding victories I've ever had, ever.
I just saw we went 2-for-19 from the three and won. What in the world? And then I saw they were 2-for-22. Was it an ugly game? Or was it a game that was exciting? Like both, an ugly, exciting game. You know I don't care. It could be an ugly, ugly game, and I'm happy we're moving on.
Oh, man, you want to talk about ugly. I mean, from the loser's side, it was ugly for St. John's. And Rick Pitino, God bless him, he went to go see his son the next day. At least he could take his mind temporarily off of the loss. But, man, R.J. Lewis Jr., this guy was the Big East player of the year. You want to talk about ugly? He took 17 shots. He made three. Ouch. He got benched. We don't need you. We don't want you. Have a seat. And then Rick Pitino was asked about it after the game. And he's just like, why did I play him the last 5 minutes? Why do you think I'm trying to win a basketball game? And he sucked.
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
No. Played 30 minutes and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play.
Oh, ouch. Well, he could have said it was his shooting, but I guess he didn't want to say that because then Rick Pitino said he won't do something. He won't knock a player, even though he, like, knocked his entire team last year. I guess he learned his lesson. Listen to this.
Was there one play with RJ that made you sit him the last 5 minutes?
You know he was 3-for-17. You know he was 0-for-3. So you're answering your own. I'm not going to knock one of my players.
Damn. He says at this moment, Hickey, he should have said at this moment, I'm not going to knock one of my players. Because I learned my lesson last year when I said this kid isn't athletic enough. He doesn't know how to, pass on the floor. Like you don't say this like you haven't ripped your players before. Like those guys were fishing. And I don't blame them. It's their job. They were looking for a quote. They didn't get one. He had a different response. He still had a noteworthy response, but he ripped his guys to shreds last year. Maybe he was going to have a flashback.
He learned a lesson. Maybe it was not the time. He was not taking the bait. You're not kidding about that.
Yeah, I would have preferred if he did. Nah, who am I? I can't say that. Let me not say that. I really feel concerned about some of these young men. Like, they got to get over it. You know, it's just when everybody is watching you all across the country and this big moment, and like people have such short attention spans. Ain't nobody going to be thinking about RJ Lewis and going 3-for-17 outside of him when he's laying in bed one night. Like, who cares? But as an overall, when all the spotlight and all the attention is on you at that moment, it's tough. Hickey, I've seen so many tears over the past week. Like, this is the time of year I see young people cry. Like, there's no other time. Like, I'm not, like, why else are people crying? There are more people crying on TV in this 2 week span than anything else.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. It's devastating because all of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, your season is done. You know, your hopes and dreams are wiped out for a lot of these players that are either going to the league or just run out of eligibility. This is the last time they'll put on a uniform, at least the uniform of the school they're at, especially the transfer portal. It's, you know, even more so now the case. And maybe that just finality hits them seconds after a loss to where it's just that you just see more tears than you otherwise would.
Man, you know what doesn't hit the Hickey? What's hitting them at that moment is that this amazing journey is over. Like being able to maybe reach this point in college athletics, maybe being on television, you know, being online, being on social media, and then And then the reality that should really hit them maybe a couple days, couple weeks after, Hickey. Welcome to the real world. Welcome to reality. Welcome to the workforce. Like, welcome to getting a job. Maybe that should hit them a lot harder than not playing basketball or football, man. I think so.
And maybe that's why they're crying. Oh, my God. I got to get a real job now.
Yeah. Like, how many? I'm going to look that up in a break. What percentage of college athletes go pro? Like, you think about this, thousands of them. Thousands. What percentage actually make the next level?
Isn't it like 1%?
Is it that? Is it that or less?
I mean, like you said, like think about it. Just in basketball alone, there's what, 368 schools, I think is the exact number?
Oh, my God.
In just D1 alone?
Yeah, I didn't even think about D2 because...
Why would you?
Yeah, like, what's the last D2 basketball player that had an impact in the NBA? Like, a real impact?
No, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up in the break. Yeah, March is mad. This might be the peak of a lot of people's athletic careers. Hey, where's that guy from NC State? He's in China or Europe somewhere, right?
DJ Burns.
Yeah, we'll find out where he is on the other side. And I'm going to tell you about one guy. His stock is rising. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show.